Okay, let's get going. Hour number three with Dr. Henry Nyman. There's a lot. I sound like a broken record, although many people, younger people, don't even know what a record is anymore. It's not really a lot of fun out there. It's just going to get worse, I'm afraid. Everyone I know that I respect says the same thing. The news is up now. Please look at the first video. A Yugoslavian woman makes it crystal clear how they see the threat that we're facing. Look at it from their perspective. They're on the outside. They've got a better look at us than we do. We're too close to it. It's a fascinating look at the threats that we face right now. Forecast for America, the second story. Want to see what's ahead? This was a very interesting projection that's been around for about a year or so, and I've run it, I think, for the second or third time now at least, and it's well worth taking a look at. Is this the plan? Is this where we're going with this? Remember, this virus, because of its polybasic cleavage site, doesn't just go for one type of body cell, which is usually the lungs, flu, etc. No, this can go for any major organ system in the body. That's why 78% of the people, they studied 100 survivors, people who recovered from coronavirus, 78% had heart damage, visible heart damage by way of an MRI. This is very concerning. There are many who have kidney damage, liver damage, certainly lung damage, neurological damage, brain damage. I'm afraid with this heart issue, say 80% out of 100, what does that mean? Does that mean these people, depending on the severity of the heart damage, of course, that's obvious, but does it mean that the average life expectancy for people who survive and who are in this particular sample group of 100 people, 80%, rounding it off, does that mean they're going to have an issue of a shorter life, heart disease, more prominent among many people who get this virus? What does it really mean? Moscow, meanwhile, 90% plunge in new coronavirus cases. That's the mayor of Moscow talking. 24% of coronavirus patients in Russia develop pneumonia, while 37% are asymptomatic over there. There's a lot going on around the world. Remember, this is not just isolated to the United States, even though many people here seem to think that that's the case. It's not. It's a worldwide issue. Three California food suppliers have been ordered to close after nearly 60 workers tested positive. These are major food plants. Another link in the food chain breaks. Lots of links are broken, and no one seems to notice or pay attention. Dr. Fauci now recommends wearing goggles to prevent catching the virus. It's up there. Market Watch has this story. Very credible site. Bill Gates says most coronavirus tests are a complete waste because the results come back far too slowly. Goldman Sachs says the U.S. is now at the start of a sustained downward trajectory in the spread of the virus. We'll see. We'll see. A lot going on. U.S. surpasses 150,000 coronavirus deaths now amid this new surge in infections. And here's another one of those stories about that 78%. The coronavirus long haulers, those are people who get past it but have symptoms, are now reporting nearly 100 symptoms, different kinds of symptoms, that last for more than 100 days minimum after they have, quote, recovered. LA reports new records of coronavirus deaths and cases today. This is all very concerning. I've never seen anything like it. We've talked about this polybasic issue many, many times. It doesn't seem to register with the masses. You people understand it. It means that if you get infected, you don't know where this virus is going to set up shop and start doing damage. It's a very difficult issue. Hello, Henry. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back. It is pretty busy today. And the numbers you're talking about, I mean, it's called a pandemic because it is worldwide. The current count on the Worldometer is 17,185,930 confirmed cases in the world. We've got about 4.5 million, so we've got about a quarter of the total. So there's lots of this virus out there. Worldwide, there's 670,200 deaths. We've got, a little over 150, depends who's counting. It's getting close to 155, actually, on Worldometer. But, the virus isn't limited to the U.S., but the U.S. has more cases and has more deaths than any other country in the world. So some people from the outside certainly, I mean, this looks like a cesspool to the outside world. They can't believe that with the technology and the know-how and the experience in this country, which used to be number one in the world.
No, it's horrible.
And they're just looking at how can you have, more cases than any other country in the world. So, as far as, the records, it was as advertised that, today there were, this is the thing with the deaths. The deaths are a trailing indicator. So when Trump was talking about, the fatality rate is down, we're in good shape. He was, it was just, as I had mentioned, it was kind of between waves. So essentially the cases that came up early were pretty much getting under control and the number of deaths had gone down. And then the new cases in the South and West were, going full bore as far as the number of cases were concerned. But as far as the deaths were concerned, that is a trailing indicator. And so now they may be leveling off somewhat on cases, but the deaths are just starting to pick up steam. And the three that I've been talking about is having over 100 cases. 100 deaths per day. All set records today, and they weren't in the 100 range. California is 192 deaths, and it might get up to 200 when it gets updated. That's as of 7 o'clock local time. Florida, and that was a record for California. Florida had 217 deaths today. That was a record. It beat yesterday's record of 191.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas had 313 deaths today. So that was almost double what the prior record was. The prior record was the high 100s. Now it's at 313. So between the three of them, those three states alone had 700 deaths today. So that's what New York was at its peak. It was in the 700 to 800, and it only got to the 800 level for a day or two. And these numbers are going up. The only reason they're not going to go up by the end of the week is because Florida's got a hurricane. It's forecast to go right up the middle of the state, and they're going to shut down their testing. So Florida might see a drop in cases. They probably won't see a drop in deaths because they're already in the hospital, and they're going to die with or without the hurricane. And that's what the numbers look like in those three. But it's not just those three. The total for today was 1,455 deaths. Now, if you recall, the deaths had been around 2,000 for a while. Then they started going down and they dropped down to 1,000. And then they got below 1,000. And that's when Trump was saying, oh, look how great the death rate was. But right. About a week ago, it got back over 1,000. It's been around 1,000. It was creeping up. And yesterday was the highest level after it got back over 1,000. It was at 1,283. So yesterday was 1,283. Today was 1,455. And it's likely that tomorrow will be even higher because there's all these other states that are basically taking it, waiting in the wing. So if you go down, Louisiana had 69 deaths today. Georgia had 79 deaths today. Ohio had 40 deaths today. Virginia had 30 deaths today. North Carolina had 45 deaths today. Arizona had 46 deaths today. Alabama had 47 deaths today. South Carolina had 50 deaths today. So by next week, we'll be above 2,000 again. So I'll be back in the 2,000 dead per day. And there's no real end. I mean, the end is that the three states that are leading, I'll throw in Arizona, they may be flattening somewhat, except they're flattening at a very high level. And the deaths aren't going to flatten because the deaths are going to reflect what the new case numbers looked like a month ago or 3 weeks ago. Those are the people that are dying now. They were admitted close to a month ago, and that's how long it takes before they die. So the deaths are going to continue going up. And these other ones that I read that are in the 30 to 70 deaths a day range, those are going to go up because they just got to that level. If you looked at those states a week ago, they were down around 10, 15, 20 deaths a day. Now they're at 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 deaths a day. And several of them will be over 100 deaths a day by the end of next week. So that's what the numbers are looking like. And Trump is not talking about it. He's talking about, the Democrats in the cities and where he's sending troops. And now he's actually pulling troops back from
12,000,
Portland.
Germany. Oh, you're talking domestically.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's doing that. Yeah, he's taking them home. He's bringing them from Germany so they can deploy them here. No, he's pulling 12,000 troops out of Germany, Trump's gift to Putin. That's exactly, that's what Putin dreams about, is how he can get the U.S. troops out of Europe on his doorstep. And number one would be to get them out of Germany. And Trump has decided he's going to do that because they're not paying enough money or something. But it's really because people admire Angela Merkel better more than they admire him. So he's going to pull the troops out. The guy.
Well, I'm
not
sure
control,
where they're going to be pulled out to, Henry. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, some are
sure
going to Belgium.
Home.
Some are coming back to the U.S.
That's what I understand. Now, back to Seattle and Portland for a minute. As far as these two particular cities go, what are your numbers? Do you have any numbers? They have a lot of people in the streets up there. They've been not wearing masks, all of them. Anything to indicate that this merry-go-round up there has resulted in higher infection rates? I have not seen anything with any specificity yet.
No, those are outside, and the vast majority are wearing masks. If anybody's gonna, get infected, it's gonna be the troops he brought in from around.
Well, they actually weren't troops. We have to be fair. They were federal police. They weren't military. But I understand what you're saying. Now, let me also ask you about Fauci. This is a big statement. he's suggesting people actually wear goggles now. He said that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Just a clarification. And
yeah.
There's a lot of confusion about this. And the confusion is really because we weren't prepared for the pandemic. And we're still not prepared for the pandemic.
No.
And if he makes a and if he makes a recommendation, she should wear goggles. It's going to be a run on the goggles, so we're going to be out of goggles. So the point is, the idea for goggles goes back to 2003, when they had the H7N7 outbreak in the Netherlands. This is bird flu.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that, and the colors wore masks, but they didn't wear goggles. And over 100 of the colors got infected. And they actually infected, they got infected, family members got infected. They had something like 100 confirmed cases. And if they did a more sensitive assay for antibodies, it indicated thousands had gotten infected. And the way they got infected was through their eyes. They were there culling all of these birds, mm-hmm. and there was virus flying around all over the place. And they wore masks, but they didn't wear goggles. And so after that outbreak, mm-hmm. it was clear that all the colors wear goggles. Now, you're talking about a virus. And so a virus is, you know, about the same size. It doesn't matter whether it's an influenza virus or whether it's the coronavirus. They're all very small, and they can go in through the eyes. And I mean, that was one of the symptoms that mm-hmm. stood out with swine flu. The people were going to the doctors with very red eyes.
I remember this now. I do remember this. I recall.
Because they had been infected, and the doctor mm-hmm. saw them, and they never, you know, they said they never saw patients with eyes that red. Mm-hmm. And that happened before anything was identified. I mean, that's what happened after they started trying to figure out how widespread the virus was. And they
mm-hmm.
talked to doctors who say, yeah, I had these patients in, you know, months before the actual identifications were done, I think in April, for one in San Diego, the other in Imperial County. They went to doctors in San Diego County, and they talked about all these patients they had seen in the last several weeks that had come in with these very red eyes. So viruses do enter the eyes. And they can go from the eyes and become a systemic type of infection, or they can, you know, a flu virus.
No, it's just a short trip to the brain.
Right. It'll normally stay in the respiratory tract, and you can touch it. I mean, that's why they say, you know, don't touch your face. That's one of the reasons right. they say to wear the mask is right. it limits the touching of your face, because the mask is there. And the same thing would happen if you touch your eyes. If you touch your eyes, you can get infected through the eyes.
Oh, I know what I'm going to do. So, I'm going to bring out a line of, you know, those things they put on dogs to keep them from reaching around and biting themselves? It's like a cone. Yes.
Yes, Victoria cone.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah.
Don't touch your eyes. I got it.
Right. So in any event, and one of the commentators had gotten infected, and he was young, he was in shape, and he was wearing masks, was taking precautions, and he got infected anyway with coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And he thought that the reason he got infected was through his eyes, because he was flying around. He came back to New Orleans and he got infected. And his analysis as to how he could have got infected when he was being as careful as he was. He came to the conclusion that he got infected because he wasn't wearing goggles, and he probably got infected at his flight back to New Orleans. And so Tony Fauci, you know, that's not new that you should wear goggles, but the CDC...
Oh, I bought goggles 6 months ago, Henry.
Right.
6 months ago, I bought goggles.
Yeah. My daughter was flying around, and I told her to get, you know, she didn't fly around much. She went to one job in Las Vegas, and they had another office in San Jose, and ones in San Jose got infected, and a few to Las Vegas, and they shut the whole thing down. But the and this was about 2 months ago. But the whole point was, you know, that I think they had masks mandatory then. They might not have. I'm not sure if they had them. She had two masks, but I told her to get a set of goggles to take that also. So the goggles isn't new. They don't recommend it the same reason they didn't recommend N95 masks. And it's the same reason they told the emergency doctor and emergency room doctor in Oregon that he didn't need N95 because they didn't have enough N95. So that was for frontline healthcare workers.
Yeah,
he was the ER doctor, and they said he did need N95, and he called me up. He said, "What are they talking about?" I said, "I don't know. You should get an N95." And it's the same thing where they said, "Well, the general public should have a mask, but you don't really need an N95. You can just use a cloth mask because you're really the protection isn't so much to protect the wearer as to limit the plume of the virus that comes out of your mouth if you cough or sneeze or
exhale,
just shout or even breathe. Yeah. So the point is, these recommendations are not because there's this, you know, new discovery. It's because that they think that, well, maybe if they do it now, there can be enough production so that people can get them and not panic, because they said you should wear goggles, and every place they call up says, you know, we're sold out. And it's the same thing with the mask, that if they said, you know, everybody should get an N95 mask, then healthcare workers won't get them. And so they're kind of, saying they're useful for different groups, and it comes down to your risk and how much exposure do you have. And as the virus spread and became more widespread, and some studies showed that, you know, it does limit the spread of the virus, and that, you know, they know that in Asian countries, they've been wearing masks forever, and that helped get SARS under control 17 years ago. Everybody was wearing masks in China.
Right.
And you know, so then they went and they changed the recommendation that said you should have it. And the only reason they didn't say to have masks from the get-go was that there weren't enough masks available, and it would just create panic. And the other argument was that people will assume that if they're wearing a mask, they can't get infected, and then they'll go out and about more, and they'll have a false sense of security, and they'll end up getting infected.
A new company here I don't know if it's new, but it's a major N95 offering, KN they call it, 95
right.
face masks,
right.
As low as $349, $350 a mask. All right, they're behind the ear masks. They're ear loops. The perfect balance.
Yeah, the K95s have slightly different specifications, and they seem to be in higher supplies than the regular N95s.
They're down to 0.3 microns, which is, I think the virus is 0.3. I think that's where it is, right at 0.3.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I mean, the N95 is supposed to keep out 95% of the
right.
the virus. I mean, that's what the 95 stand for. So it isn't 100%, but it gets rid of most of it. And as I mentioned before, that a lot of this is based on viral load, so that, you know, if you right. can get rid of 95% of the virus, even though you might get infected by the virus, it'll be, you know, less virus to start and more likely that, you know, your immune system will keep that virus under control and you may not even be symptomatic, or if you are, you may just be mildly symptomatic and
got it.
And you might have you know, a better outcome. But anyway, getting back to the news, the virus is all over the place, and Trump tripled down on Stella today. You know, he was asked this morning, he was going to fly out to Texas, and uh-huh. and you know, his comments were, you know, comical if they weren't so dangerous. You know, he said, well, you know, they said, what about this, you know, these demons and alien DNA? And he says, well, you know, maybe it's a different Stella. Maybe this is two different people. The one
he said
saw,
that.
There was, he definitely said that. He said, I don't know.
There's only one Stella. Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about her. I don't know, but maybe what you're seeing on these you know, alien DNA, et cetera, are referring to some other person, and they're mixed up. But when she made her comments, there were all these other doctors there, and you know, they're well known doctors, and they said the same thing. They're all really big on hydroxychloroquine. But the point is, all of these guys, they formed this America's Frontline Doctors.com, you know, 12
right.
days ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that organization is sponsoring this conference, and they were all there for that conference. And they're all listed as, you know, some affiliates, so they're probably all getting paid by this organization they formed. And they got all this dark money going into this organization. So it's a way to basically pay these guys to hold press conferences and do lobbying and say, you know, you should use hydroxychloroquine. And so most of the stuff I tried to get to yesterday are still down. The Stella's firepower is still down. It just spins around and around and around. But I did find, and I went back to Rehoboth Medical Center and see if, you know, maybe there was some mistake there that Google sent me to this strip mall, which has, you know, the firepower place, but it didn't really say anything about the medical center. Now, I had actually seen a sign that, you know, it was just something that was overlaid on the building. You know, it was, you know, like a big sheet that had been put up there that said something about the medical center. But the Facebook site is open. So it's
uh-huh.
still alive. And just to give you an idea who she's seeing and who she's testing. And it says, and it's got her name, it's got Stella's name, it's got her phone number, it's got the address goes to that strip mall again. And it's Rehoboth Medical Center, Pediatric Clinic, Dr. Stella Emanuel, MD. And then, and it's got the actual address, 6718 Highway 6 South in Houston. And you put that address in and it goes to the same strip mall. So they're all there. The picture on Google is a year old. So a year ago, They didn't even have this medical center up. Yeah, there's no signs in the strip mall that say anything about Rehoboth Medical Center. It just has her firepower.
Well, I wonder if this was some Republican PAC or committee trying to create this.
It definitely
stupid,
was.
Stupid move. Yeah.
I'm telling you they bought the domain name 12 days ago. You can you can do a who is and do America's and it shows when it was bought and it's inactive now. You can't see the site anymore. But anyway, the Facebook is up, so you can Google Rehoboth Medical Center and go to the Facebook site. And here's what it says. It says walk-in ! Urgent care ! After hours ! And then it says screen and treat COVID-19 patients. Early treatment is key. Come in. Call and come in. Don't wait till you get too sick. If you have flu-like symptoms, it's probably COVID-19. And then it says that the FDA has revoked its emergency use authorization, restricting the use of hydroxychloroquine in hospital settings only. It was not found to be effective in sick hospital patients. Doctors, however, can use it outpatient where early treatment is key to effectiveness, off-label to treat COVID-19. That will also release the stockpile. And then it's got a telephone number, walk-ins, welcome. So she's basically treating people that really aren't very sick, people that are walking in. And she said, here, do this. She can stand there and click her heels, and the vast majority of them will recover. She's not taking any emergency room patients.
Henry,
got to go on a ventilator.
I was going to invite her on the program with you. All right. All right.
Well, here's her.
Never mind. Never mind.
Her phone number is here. I can give you her phone number. You can call Rehoboth Medical Center. And I'm sure the number works. That's probably about the only thing that works. But in any event, she's basically just taking patients that are walking in. I mean, even if you listen carefully to her press conference, she said, oh, she treats people that have diabetes. She treats people that have asthma.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people have diabetes and asthma. That doesn't mean they're very sick. And I'm not even, she doesn't even say they do testing. I'm not even sure these people even have COVID. They just say if you got flu-like symptoms, you probably have COVID. And, you know, if you do testing, the screening of people with flu-like symptoms, if 25% are positive, that's a high number. So the majority of people with flu-like symptoms actually don't even have COVID, but she can give them some hydroxychloroquine and they're recovered. You know, so it's just nonsense. She says she's treated 350. 350 isn't even that many patients if you're advertising. Although if I thought I had COVID, I went to this strip mall and saw this, you know, new sign that they had put up, just kind of hanging there.
She had to get the nearest motel and call it the Hydroxy Hotel or something. Let's market this properly. Let's get it out.
Well, if you Google it, you can take a look at it. They got signs up, the pharmacy's a discount pharmacy right next door. And I mean, there is a Walgreens at the other end of the strip mall.
Very good.
And, it's not at all real. And that's what is out there. And Trump has now tripled down on it. I mean, he tweeted it out yesterday, and then he offered his support again at his briefing yesterday. And then he went and said, He's, he thought she was great. She did a great job. He was impressed. He doesn't really know her or her background, but he tweets it out to 80 million people and gets all of his buddies to go ahead and gin it up. So they got 13, 14 million views before they got pulled. So you right. can't really see as much. But anyway.
Let's get back to, I'm a little more than passively interested in the goggle thing now. I fully expect to see goggles begin to appear around
right.
now, especially
right.
in places. Now, can you imagine, here, I know someone who works as a cook in a restaurant, all right? And they got a line, they got five or six cooks, chefs working, and they got waiters and waitresses, and they got people, and they're doing a big business. This is in the city nearby
right.
here. And that kitchen environment cannot be a good place to work. I don't care what you're wearing. You got six people in there
right.
cooking and doing various things. You don't know where they go after work. You don't know if they're safe. You don't know
right.
if they've been
right.
tested or not. And you're in a hot environment like that. I know heat. We've talked about that. But it's congested. The air in the damn building is being, like most places, recirculated. Come on. This is
yeah.
crazy to go into in this environment right now. To go into a restaurant, and believe me, my heart goes out to all restaurant owners, but I just can't see it being smart. Take the food home.
No, that's what the recommendations are, to do social distancing. As far as restaurants, it's really to do curbside kind of stuff. You know, you can go and pick it up, and it's not to do. In-house dining and the problem is there's too much heterogeneity out there. I mean, you know, the governor say one thing, the mayor say something else, the store owners
yeah.
either follow it or they don't. It's very uneven. The CDC is going and identifying some of these areas that are getting ready to explode. They essentially say that if your percent positive is on the rise, then you're going to have a problem. If you've got 100 cases per 100,000, you're going to have a problem. And they said these new states are coming up. I think they said Minnesota and Ohio, and I think maybe Michigan, and they're just looking at these numbers. They're going and telling the governors about them, and the governors say, oh, thanks for the info, and they don't do anything about it. It just keeps on rolling right along. That's why these numbers are going up. That's why they're going to continue to deteriorate. You know, the only issue with Florida is the hurricane, so they'll stop testing. But just to give a little bit more information, Louis Gohmert is positive, and and the only reason they know that he's positive is because he was scheduled to fly out with Trump to go to Texas, and everybody going on Air Force One has to get screened, and he tested positive. He's asymptomatic. If he hadn't been scheduled to go with Trump, he would still be, walking around Congress. He doesn't like wearing a mask. He wears a bandana that slips down all the time, and half the time it's not off.
Well, we know Trump is immune, so I'm not worried about Trump anymore.
But Barr got tested because they were walking around and they were next to each other, neither wearing a mask. So he got tested negative then. He got
could he be a, could Gohmert be a false positive? He should be retested, should he not, just to be logical?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a, well, the test they use is this quickie test that they have at the White House, which isn't that sensitive. So if he's positive on that, he's probably positive. He's probably going to get even stronger. He flaunts all this. He doesn't like a mask. He only recently started wearing a mask. He doesn't really wear it most of the time. And he discourages any employees from wearing masks. He won't let any of them work from home. They all have to come into the office. And when the report came of this, then the reporters got flooded by other staff members, largely or probably exclusively of Republicans that had the same issues. They have to come in. They get ridiculed if they wear a mask. And it's just a cesspool. I mean, it's set, you know, they're positioned to fail. You know, they're basically doing all these things. They're ignoring the virus. They're pretending it isn't a problem. And if you notice that most of the U.S. politicians that are getting infected are Republicans. I mean, they got a pretty good ratio on how many are reported as being positive. And that's part of the reason that they've got that many cases in Washington, and that's the reason they have that many cases in the U.S. The people are not taking the virus seriously. I did look at the paper you mentioned yesterday, the one in Java, one of the things that kind of stood out was, and easy to understand, was they did blood work on 71 of the patients, where they measured troponin, which is the enzyme that is monitored to see if you had a heart attack, and C-reactive protein, which is protein that is an indication of inflammation. And 71 of these 100 patients, they actually tested with blood work. And they basically had a cutoff for the troponin of 3 or higher, and all 71 were 3 or higher. And then they had 2 different control groups. One were age matched, and the other ones were people that had higher risk factors. And they could get some that had it right around 3, but the range was lower, and they had a very high p-value, like a 0.001 or something like that.
I got it.
So they were the 3 groups were dramatically different. Those who had been positive for the virus were beat out both control groups by a large margin, no matter if they were measuring troponin, C-reactive protein, or looking at how many had 3, a score of 3 or higher. And it really indicated that all of these were having damage. And it turns out only about a third of the patients had been hospitalized. So 2/3 of the patients never were hospitalized, and they still all fell into this category of having these indications of some issues with the heart. And so, as you said, it's really not clear if they had this, you know, what the interval was between the time they were infected and the time they drew the blood to see if they had these indications. But if you remember, when the cases started up, you know, Twitter was awash with all these doctors who had said they did an EKG and all these patients look like they're having a heart attack. And the virus does, you know, do damage. It lasts for a while, and it's far from clear, you know, what how that damage is set up for a second infection, that if you have, you know, the virus infect a second time. And, you know, it's not clear that even if you're naturally infected from the virus, if you've got enough immunity, so you're going to be protected for a significant time period. And I think the same thing's happening that happened with swine flu, where initially people just had a little bit of a cough. They really weren't that sick. they recovered, and then like 6 weeks later, they kind of got the virus again, and then they got much sicker, and they got a fever, and they got sent home from school, and they got diagnosed as being positive for the virus, or they might have only been influenza A by that time because there was no other virus circulating, and that's how they were testing them. So the point is that the virus is bad. It creates these issues that may be flying under the radar. These, obviously, two-thirds of the people in that study didn't go to the doctor, then, or at least didn't go into the hospital, that they wouldn't really have a whole lot of follow-up. They would say, well, I got the virus, I have flu-like symptoms for X number of days, or in some cases, X number of weeks, and I seem to be fine now. And then and they look a little closer, they see that there's evidence of problems. And
I really don't like this at all. The polybasic is going to prove to be potentially catastrophic for a lot of people whose lives will never be the same. We don't know yet. We don't know what's going to happen in a year, two, three, or four. Right now, there are people with nearly 100 symptoms after 100 days of apparently testing negative. This is really unprecedented. And it's a nasty son of a bitch. Excuse my French, but this is a bad virus.
Well, that's what happens with avian influenza. Just as a reminder, that both H7 and H5 have this potential. It's actually through recombination, and it's actually not even homologous recombination, but they can acquire a polybasic cleavage site. And that's the reason that low-path is reportable, because if it stays low-path, the birds just end up with flu-like symptoms, or feathers are a little bit ruffled, their egg production might go down somewhat.
Sure.
They
Got
don't
it.
Die and they get over it. And then if they acquire the polybasic cleavage site, it's the same virus. The only difference is it's now got this cleavage site that allows it to infect a lot of different tissues. And the virus then affects all its organs, and the birds are dead in a couple of days. So they go from something with a mild flu to fatal. And it's very transmissible. And so that's the reason they call everything, because in a short time period, they're all going to have the high path instead of the low path. And they're all going to end up dying off. Now, it isn't that dramatic in humans right now, this polybasic cleavage site. It allows the enzyme furin to cleave the precursor, and it needs that cleavage to get into the cell. And so as long as there's an ACE2 receptor and furin in the cell, then the virus can get in. And furin is a enzyme that's very widespread. And the ACE2 receptor is also widespread. And so that's why the virus can get into so many different cell types and cause all kinds of problems, even if initially they're kind of milder. What it's going to look like if you're infected more than once isn't at all clear. And that's one of the reasons that there could be a second wave. Mm-hmm. And the second wave may be much worse than the first wave. And it doesn't really even have to change that much. All you really need is the virus to be at higher frequencies, or even if it's at the same frequency, all you need is the antibodies that were generated from the first infection to wear off, and it sounds like that could happen in a couple of months. And then there's naturally going to be selection for the virus that's at a higher concentration, because then it's going to be able to more effectively infect more people. And so a second wave of the virus, if there's not good immunity, then people are going to potentially have a much, you know, more virulent virus and a much more severe illness. And it'll spread like wildfire, and it won't be like the Herald wave where it shows up in one part of the country, then another part of the country. It'll show up everywhere at once, and it'll tax the healthcare delivery system. So that's why it doesn't look good for the fall. And the U.S. It looks worse than anywhere because we've got more virus than anybody.
Yeah, we sure do.
So,
we're number one.
Well, yeah. Number one by far.
Henry, talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay, we'll see what
amigo.
Happens. We'll
be good.
Talk to you then. Okay,
Alrighty.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for being here, all of you. And do look at that video from Yugoslavia. Very important. They've got good vision over there of what's going on over here that we just cannot acquire easily. Back tomorrow night. Talk to you then.